This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We're going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about quarterbacks because we're not quite done in the National Football League. Yesterday, the big news, Matt Ryan traded from the Atlanta Falcons to the Indianapolis Colts. He goes to a better situation because the Atlanta Falcons are a complete and utter mess. We'll get to the reasons why Atlanta had to do this coming up. And what does this mean for the Colts? All right, they may not have the best quarterback in the AFC, but they've got a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. And once again, the AFC is stockpiling some of the better names and better players at that quarterback position. But we're also going to get into Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo because those two players have yet to be moved, even though we've been thinking that these two players are going to be on the move at some point. Where will they go? How did the Atlanta Falcons fill that quarterback spot? Well, they picked up Marcus Mariota. Now, Mariota, who spent 2 years with the Las Vegas Raiders, is reuniting with Arthur Smith, who's the head coach of the Falcons, who was Mariota's offensive coordinator at Tennessee, knows the system, etc. But that's not the long-term answer for the Atlanta Falcons. That is a team that really needs to rebuild and rebuild everything. And it all really started with Arthur Blank's infatuation with Deshaun Watson. Doesn't this all seem to come back to Deshaun Watson in some way? We're going to get to all of that coming up. Plus, we're going to look at the latest story from The Athletic on Urban Meyer's tenure with Jacksonville. This is just me personally. I find this fascinating. This guy had no business around professional football players. None. Based on this story out of The Athletic. Now, the funny thing about this article was there was all these little pieces that we kind of heard throughout the year. But when it all is piled up into this huge, here's everything Urban Meyer did or said by the people that were within the organization at the time, you realize what an absolute mess the Urban Meyer experiment was. Might it be the worst coaching hire in the history of sports based on this article? By the way, just a little tease. The guy didn't even know who the best defensive player in the NFL was. Yeah, it was that bad. All right, we'll get to all of that. How in the world did Matt Ryan end his 14-year career with the Atlanta Falcons and end up in Indianapolis? Well, it all starts again with Deshaun Watson. We'll get to that story coming up when Wake Up Call continues on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron, with two N's, please. The quarterback situation in this league. This is the craziest quarterback offseason I think I've ever seen. Again, this goes back to what we say all the time, which is this is, you know, when you have a quarterback, you keep them. You rarely put them on the move, and we've seen it over and over again now. Quarterbacks on the move, quarterbacks being traded, quarterbacks being talked about being traded. And a week ago, this wasn't even a possibility. This wasn't even on anybody's radar. But it's amazing how quickly these things can occur. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Baker Mayfield leaving Cleveland a week ago didn't seem to be a possibility. Now he's possibly going to be on the move any day now. We went into this offseason after the Super Bowl looking around going, okay, it looks like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get traded. It looks like Aaron Rodgers, a decision on him is going to need to be made. We ended up with Tom Brady retiring and then unretiring. We ended up with Deshaun Watson getting off the criminal element of his lawsuits, and now he becomes a player everybody wants to grab, and when doing so angers the particular quarterback that is currently on the team, right? We've had Carson Wentz moving on to the Washington, the Colts needing a quarterback and now finding him with Matt Ryan. I mean, it's you have Ben Roethlisberger retiring, the Steelers landing Mitch Trubisky. I mean, all over the place, quarterbacks are on the move, and they're flying everywhere. Now, how did this occur? Well, Arthur Blank was infatuated with Deshaun Watson. Now, most people, when the news came down that Deshaun Watson was not going to be charged criminally for the 22 allegations, then all of these teams were starting to perk up their ears and go, yeah, let's go. How do we get Deshaun Watson now? Because civil suits we can handle. That's maybe a suspension. We get through that. We got one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. So let's start talking. And the Atlanta Falcons started talking. And they did so because of a couple of reasons. One, he's from Atlanta. He went to Clemson. He was a ball boy for the Falcons back in the day. And Arthur Blank was like, what's it going to take? But the problem was Matt Ryan was currently on the team. 36-year-old Matt Ryan going into his 14th season, just completing his 14th season. So Matt Ryan goes, oh, okay, I guess you don't seem to want me around anymore. So they trade him to Indianapolis because you can't bring back an angry quarterback that's going to cost you so much money when in the end you've made it clear you want to go in another direction. Colts just happen to need a quarterback. Matt Ryan is now their quarterback. But guess what? The Atlanta Falcons are a disaster because they didn't get Deshaun Watson. They end up with Marcus Mariota. Mariota, again, reunites with Arthur Smith. But that's not the long-term answer here. They have $62 million in dead money. That's the most ever by an NFL team. Now, next year, the books will be clear, and they'll have a whole bunch of money to spend. So this year, watch out for the Atlanta Falcons tanking like you would not believe. They will be down in the basement. And by the way, why would Deshaun Watson go to Atlanta other than sentimental reasons? It made no business sense whatsoever. Who was he going to throw to? Kyle Pitts over and over again? I mean, they lost Russell Gage to free agency. Julio Jones isn't there. And oh, by the way, in case you forgot, Calvin Ridley has been suspended for an entire season for gambling on football. There is nothing in the Atlanta Falcons organization. There is nothing there. And by the way, despite the fact that Julio Jones was gone last season off to the Tennessee Titans and Ridley left the team at Halloween because he was dealing with some personal issues, the Atlanta Falcons went 7-10 with Matt Ryan, who threw 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. It wasn't his best year, but it wasn't terrible on an absolutely awful football team. That's what the Colts are getting. They're getting a quarterback that, while he isn't young and he isn't going to be a long-term answer, he's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz, and he's a pretty decent player at his age. And he goes to a team that's got better weapons than what the Falcons gave him last season. This season, I wouldn't have known why he would have wanted to stay. No quarterback in Atlanta is going to have success in 2022. They have absolutely nobody other than Kyle Pitts.
So you're saying you don't believe in Marcus Mariota?
Nobody believes in Marcus Mariota. They wasted that pick on Kyle Pitts because you don't take a tight end that high when you're looking for the successor for Matt Ryan. The Falcons believed they could continue to win with Matt Ryan, and they didn't put a team around him. And so now they're in a position where they're in dead cap hell. They have no roster. They lost a whole bunch of players, and now Marcus Mariota and Arthur Smith are going to be in a position to get Bryce Young. That's what they're doing. They're going to tank and then get Bryce Young in 2023. That's the new plan. How did the Falcons end up this way? How did they end up this way? Because the owner of the team went, Deshaun Watson, maybe he'll come here. And that conversation hit this snowball effect where before you know it, instead of the Atlanta Falcons getting Deshaun Watson and maybe having an exciting team with a very good quarterback, they end up with a disaster and a team that will finish with the worst record in the league. Likely the worst record in the league. And it's incredible. It's an incredible turn of events because, again, a week ago, this isn't talked about. That's how quick this was. I mean, Matt Ryan is probably sitting with his wife going, now we're going to Indianapolis. It was that fast. Wow. Over the weekend, we didn't even think about moving. Now we're moving. That's how quick this turned. And again, Deshaun Watson is at the center of all of this. It's the same thing that happened in Cleveland. A week ago, was anybody talking about the Browns parting ways with Baker Mayfield? Oh, maybe some rumblings about not signing him to a long-term deal, et cetera. They didn't really quite believe in him. But again, the infatuation with Deshaun Watson. Once the NFL teams realized that maybe 22 civil suits weren't as bad as a criminal suit, they went, yeah, we're going to bring him aboard. Take that baggage. Whatever comes up with that, well, don't worry. We'll take the PR hit. And now two quarterbacks could be on the move. One has yet to be moved in Baker Mayfield. But they better move him quick. He ain't sticking around. The other problem with Mayfield, though, is that Matt Ryan asked for a trade. Right? Matt Ryan asked for a trade. And there were willing participants in the Matt Ryan trade. Baker Mayfield has asked for a trade. And I'm under the impression now there doesn't seem to be a lot of teams interested in acquiring his services. If you ask for a trade, you better get with your agent to know what your market value is, right? It doesn't matter what sport it is. It's used a lot in the NBA. The NBA says this a lot. Like, you know, you better know where you can go when you ask for a trade in the NBA. Because in the NBA, the trade has to have equal value. Like, your value has to be equal on the other side. I mean, Matt Ryan was gotten for a third round pick. I mean, the NFL doesn't work that way. But nevertheless, the Falcons are stuck with $40 million of dead space on his deal, $62 million overall. That's atrocious. That's atrocious. So if you're a Falcons fan, buckle up, because it's going to be a really interesting couple of years of figuring out how you're going to rebuild and get out of this mess. Meanwhile, you're in Indianapolis. This is a pretty good deal. I mean, you were stuck with a landscape of possibly bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo on a bum shoulder, Baker Mayfield that nobody really digs, or a very professional Matt Ryan. I mean, say what you will about Matt Ryan's getting a little older, but he can still sling it. I mean, last year was under 4,000 yards. He's thrown for over 4,000 yards every year since 2011. Except last season when it was 39 and change.
And Matt Ryan's got to be stoked, too.
I think he's really thrilled.
No, I mean, you're going from that Falcons offense that has no O-line, like you said, no receivers. I mean, the only weapon he has is a yet-to-really-be-proven rookie tight end.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, and that's it.
That's about it. Whereas on this Indianapolis team, let's not forget, they were a playoff-level team until they collapsed in the final two games of the season.
One of the best offensive lines in the league.
Yep, and they run the ball great with Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
He can throw the ball to a couple of guys. He's got a very good coach. So this is, again, this is a great situation for Matt Ryan because the Falcons, I mean, again, the Falcons went 7-9 last season, and people went, that was massively overachieving with the obstacles that they've had. What a wild 6 months for the city of Atlanta. Like, seriously, they win the World Series, and then they lose Freddie Freeman, and then now Matt Ryan is gone. Like, what a bizarre, euphoric, yet depressing sort of 6 months it's been for that town. Crazy.
Are the Thrashers a thing?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, and Georgia won the national championship.
Don't forget that.
Atlanta is a Georgia Bulldog town. So you get the Atlanta Braves, the Georgia Bulldogs, Freddie Freeman's gone, and now Matt Ryan's gone. So it's like two great things, two pretty terrible things, you know? But, I mean, at the end of the day, Atlanta, it's not like Matt Ryan was leaving a playoff team, so I'm sure Falcon fans are not like, well, it's sad because he's been the quarterback for 14 seasons. He's the best quarterback the Atlanta Falcons have ever had. He owns all of their records. He gives you a fighting chance, even on a bad football team. But now they got Marcus Mariota. I mean, if you want to talk about possible resurrection, maybe Arthur Smith and him could possibly put something together. But under Arthur Smith, remember, Mariota lost his job to Ryan Tannehill. So when Smith was the offensive coordinator of the Titans. So there's that. But again, Deshaun Watson and the infatuation with wanting to bring on that quarterback and all of the baggage that he is going to bring, despite the fact that he's one of the most talented quarterbacks we've got in the game, his baggage, it had no, Arthur Smith's infatuation with that and the willingness to bring that to Atlanta, all of the issues with that, with those civil suits to Atlanta, all of the controversy and the PR hit. If I was Matt Ryan, I would have been insulted. I would have been insulted. Like, I could be like, all right, I get it. You know, I'm getting older and you might want to go with another quarterback. But you mean to tell me you're willing to do this? I'm under contract and you're willing to bring in a guy that has all of these accusations against him that is going to be a PR nightmare when he gets here. That's better than me still? I'm dragging this team, kicking and screaming to victories we absolutely don't deserve. I'm out there slinging it, staying very, very healthy for you. I've only been out three games in my entire career. I'm out here throwing for 4,000 yards, 20 touchdowns on an absolute dismal football team, and you would rather field questions about 22 civil suits and how that fits in the Atlanta Falcons culture than have me under center? Yeah, get me out of here right now. Thanks for everything, but goodbye. I don't blame Matt Ryan one bit. Baker Mayfield doesn't seem to have a landing spot, but I'm sure Matt Ryan knew he'd go somewhere. Someone would take his services. All right, what does this mean for the Colts? We'll look at their angle as well. What does it mean for them in the division and in an AFC that is loaded with quarterbacks? As we continue, it is Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, back to this story that broke yesterday. Matt Ryan going to Indianapolis, and now the Falcons going with Marcus Mariota on a two-year deal. They'll place hold for that until they find their quarterback of the future. Now, listen, it's not all doom and gloom for the Falcons. Let's be honest here. The Falcons are in a mess. They're in an absolute mess. But next year, they're expected to have over, I don't know, $130 million in cap space, according to overthecap.com. So in 2023, things will be looking up for the Falcons as they rebuild their football team. Next year, nothing.
So Arthur Blank doesn't have to raise concession prices yet.
No, he does not have to do that just yet. But they have to survive a year where they mismanaged the money.
Force Chick-fil-A to open on Sundays?
Yep, they don't have to do that. They don't have to do that. Again, this is $62 million in dead money for 2022. But again, the books will be clear. It'll open up a little bit more, and then they'll have over $100 million in cap space for 2023, plus likely a top three pick in the draft, because they should be awful
yeah.
next year. They should be awful.
You know, if I'm a Colts fan, I'm pleased with my organization.
I am too.
Ever since Andrew Luck went down, you know, they've been that question mark for quarterbacks. And you can honestly say the Colts try every single season.
They are at least putting somebody under center that is a legitimate player at that position.
Yeah.
They're not going to grab, you know, some journeyman guy that can't play.
And Luke
go,
Falk.
Oh, we don't know what to do. Yeah. Like, say what you will about Carson Wentz. I know he's a punching bag. People love to pick on him. But he had a good enough season last year that they were a playoff team. And as I said when he got traded, they were at one point the hottest team in the NFL. Like, they were a dangerous team. They're playing really well. Beat Arizona in Arizona. And then I don't know what the hell happened over the last two games, but they were terrible.
Well, absolutely, and you look terrible at it on paper. You know, the marriage, once again, of Carson Wentz and Frank Reich, that looked great.
That looked great, yeah.
You know, there was so much potential, there was so much upside that you kind of got excited for him. But, you know, there's something going on with, you know, Carson Wentz needs to talk to Marshawn Lynch and work on his mentals.
I think the one thing that I would be excited about if I was a Colts fan is, like, look, Matt Ryan can still play this position well. And he is a very mature football player. He is a smart football player. He doesn't make dumb mistakes. He doesn't flick it out of his wrist when he's in the end zone on a sack, just hoping to God it lands on the ground instead of a defensive lineman's hands that will just walk into the end zone for a touchdown. He's smart. He knows how to play. He knows what he can do. He's confident in what he can do. He has been nothing but a pro's pro while he's been in Atlanta. He's not a problem. He's not a whiner. I don't remember watching Matt Ryan play and thinking, oh, this guy stinks. Like, every time I watch him play, his team may stink, but I watch him play well, right? I mean, he can throw the ball still.
I mean, you can go back to Boston College.
Right?
And say the same thing. I mean, he's never been a horrible player. I mean, I wouldn't say he's an upper echelon quarterback, aside from a couple of seasons here and there. But you've never had to worry about it.
And that's where this AFC is now becoming even more interesting in terms of its hierarchy of quarterbacks. Is Matt Ryan a 1A quarterback in this conference? No. Is he 1B? Kinda. I mean, he's more like a B+, right? In terms of the list of quarterbacks. If I was a Titans fan, it's threatening. I mean, again, Titans had to hold off Carson Wentz and the Colts last season until the very end. They didn't run away with the division. And now Matt Ryan, I think, makes the Colts better than Carson Wentz had it. So if I'm the Titans, I'm a little nervous, right? That maybe Matt Ryan and the Colts get that one or two extra game next year, extra win, that puts them in a position to challenge us very late in the season for the AFC South. Now, is he on the level of Joe Burrow and Patrick? No, he's not on that level. So the quarterback hierarchy is still with those young guys. But Matt Ryan in this conference once again is showing where all of the QB talent is
It's filled. Crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, look, if you were to list the quarterbacks in the NFC before this trade, you would put Matt Ryan on the list, but not his team, right? You would say, like, well, here are the better quarterbacks in the NFC now. Well, there's Aaron Rodgers, and then there's Tom Brady, and then there's Matt Stafford, and then there's Dak Prescott, and then you look around, and Matt Ryan with the Atlanta Falcons, he's pretty good. Like, you would put him on the list. Now look at what's going on in the NFC. Who is a threat in the NFC South? Like, if you're Tom Brady...
Sam Darnold.
You can take weeks off now, right? I mean... What is going on in the NFC South?
You and I were joking off air that Tom Brady, of course he came back. All he's looking at is like, nah, I just got to win four games. I'm in the playoffs.
That's right. That's another thing. That's why I could not believe when Brady retired. I was like, you're retiring with a really good team in an absolute atrocious division? Like, if you're... I have always, you know, when NFL quarterbacks especially retire, and this goes for all players, but mostly for quarterbacks... They want Brady was in the playoffs and had that comeback, and then he was probably like, oh, maybe I don't want the off season and the long season. But then I'm like, but if I want to get back to this, the thing I really enjoy, which is playoff football, I can't find an easier way to do it than coming back to this team in that crappy division.
Now he's got to roll through. I'm going to assume right now Marcus Mariota is probably the starter for the Falcons as of today.
Right.
Jameis Winston is probably going to be the starter of the Saints.
Jameis Winston, they just re-signed him.
He just re-signed. And then Sam Darnold of the Panthers.
Yeah, that's it.
You mean Tom Brady can't get past those three?
A Saints team with no Sean Payton at the helm.
Right.
Right? With an Atlanta team with Marcus Mariota, who scares absolutely nobody. And then the Carolina Panthers, who haven't really figured out exactly who they are, and have talked about trading Christian McCaffrey because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, the three teams that are kind of in a mess, and Brady should be like, all I really do is got to be, you know, play eight, you know, six games against these guys, and, you know, a couple of wins around, the, you know, in the other games, and I'm in the post. I don't even have to go 13-4. And I win the division, right? And then just put me in the playoffs, and everything's on. Everything's good.
What do you think? 9 wins gets the Buccaneers in the playoffs.
Give me 6 in my own division, and then a couple. All right, coming up, the Athletic's article on Urban Meyer. When you put it all together, this should have never, ever, ever happened. Oh boy, we'll get to that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Also, you can like us on Facebook if you want to get into the conversation. All right, so I got to get to the story from The Athletic. Holy cow. So this was a
greatest hire ever.
This was a brutal, brutal takedown of Urban Meyer. Now, again, I thought the Urban Meyer saga in Jacksonville was one of, like, when he got hired, I didn't immediately go to the, this is terrible. Like, I kind of went, all right, let's see. He's a good coach. You know, he's a smart guy. I didn't like the way he exited Florida. I didn't like the way he exited Ohio State. He does seem to have problems. He does seem to have judgment issues. He brought in a lot of players at Florida that got in trouble with the law. And then his support of Zach Smith, is one of his longtime assistants after domestic abuse allegations, was horrible. It led to a suspension and then eventually led to him going, oh, I don't do this anymore. And now he was with Jacksonville. And I was like, well, you know, who knows, right? So Jason Jenks and Mike Sando of The Athletic, I'm going to give them credit for writing this article. They put together basically everything Urban Meyer did in Jacksonville into one article. And when you read it all at once, it makes you go, how did Shad Khan even allow this man near the facility, let alone run it? But some of these stories we knew based on just little bits and pieces that kind of fell to us during the season, but we were getting them in small doses. This article is basically all of those small doses in one sit-down piece that makes you go, holy cow, this guy may never coach again. Like, you know that's not true. Somebody will give this guy another job. But reading this, it would make me nervous to bring a guy like this in. First of all, he was authoritarian like nobody's business. He ran an absolute monarch of an organization. He yelled at players to a point where some players cried that he was yelling at them so much. He treated everybody like a child. He insulted everybody that did anything wrong. If you ran a bad route, he'd scream at you. He'd embarrass you. He got so angry during a preseason game that it made the coaches question what in the world they were getting involved in, because they knew the team wasn't going to be all that great during the regular season. And they were thinking, if this guy's blowing a gasket during the preseason, we're in for a long year here. And a lot of them were overly stressed about their relationship with Urban Meyer. He would belittle coaches in front of players. He would belittle players in meeting rooms. He had no idea who Aaron Donald was, at one point telling an assistant coach, that 99 seems to be pretty good. He's going to be a problem for us. He kicked Josh Lambeau, but we knew that because that story kind of came out. But that was, again, backed up by a number of people who said they saw it and was eventually conceded. I mean, Meyer asking, who's this 99 on the Rams? I hear he might be a problem. It's like, do your homework. Like, if you're going to be an NFL coach, I would sit in a room and learn the roster of, like, every team. I would learn who's who on every team just before I even start bringing in players in for workouts. Meyer said in front of scouts at a meeting, I hate scouts. Scouts are lazy. Scouts are, you know, really are the ones that go around all over the country scouting games and scouting talent. He had a thing called winner and loser days. Two players would compete. The winner would be announced over a loudspeaker. After one blocking drill, Meyer insisted DJ Chalk to do extra reps, the receiver suffering a broken finger and underwent surgery, missing the preseason. He forbade players from speaking with opponents on the field before games. Once Chant claimed the Jaguars lost because they dressed sloppily and told offensive players that he wanted them to dunk the ball over the goalpost after touchdowns, even though it would draw a fine from the league. Ugh, this guy. What an absolute mess. Trevor, remember the situation with Henderson, the running back, where they benched him and he benched him and then he blamed it on an assistant coach saying, I don't really know. Trevor Lawrence had to step in and say, you have to put him in. He's our best player, coach. Trevor Lawrence suffered absolutely no growth. That's something you and I talked about
all the time.
Many times, all the time. Suffered no growth, did the same things, never developed the quarterback talent. So this was more, Meyer, you could see almost Shad Khan hearing this on a consistent basis going, I made a horrific mistake. Let me get out of this as quickly as I can. I mean, when players were saying, listen, I can't deal with this guy. I'm not in college anymore. I'm a professional athlete. And this guy is treating me like I'm a kid. He said to a bunch of players, right? He was so angry. He told a bunch of players that they would be cut. This is the exact quote. So players were making a mistake in a preseason game. So in the preseason, as you're just getting started, some players were making mistakes. He gathered the players and said to them, quote, and you know what would happen if I cut you guys? You couldn't get a job paying more than $15 an hour. The article then goes on to say, the implication that his players were capable of little more than playing football left some angry and others offended. I lost all respect for him after that, a veteran player said in the room. Why would you tell grown men that they couldn't get a job paying more than $15 an hour when you know nothing about them? Like, some of these players had degrees. Some of these players had off-the-field businesses that they were running. And Urban just assumed they were college kids with nothing in their lives but football. Like, it's a complete and utter disconnect from what he had in college, where he could get away with that stuff because they were 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and he was not only a father figure, he was the big authority in their life, whereas these players are like, you're supposed to coach me. You're not going to yell at me and belittle me all the time. Bye. Calling my agent. Getting the hell out of here. So I found this fascinating. I couldn't stop reading it. Like, I read it and then read it again because I kind of needed to remind myself, if I ever fall for the Urban Meyer myth again, I need to remind myself of this story.
He's now unhirable, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, if you are an athletic director, you may want to hire Urban Meyer to come back into the college game, and I'm sure there are athletic directors considering it. But I would read this article carefully and go, okay, remember, who am I bringing in? Is he going to be a problem for me? Like, is it worth it? Have I exhausted all other options? Because this guy looks like when he gets here, it's going to be him, and that's it. And he's going to do anything he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and that's going to make me null and void. I'm supposed to be this guy's boss, but this guy lives in a world where he has no bosses, including an owner of a football team. So do I want to do that? Now, some athletic directors will say, look, I can't get anybody to coach here. I can't get a really good coach here. But if I'm choosing between a really good up-and-coming assistant that's got a lot of good recommendations and a lot of good, got a lot of good, I don't know, background, if you will, like he's an offensive coordinator of a team that led the nation and whatever, I may lean in that direction just to avoid this kind of headache personally. Because this was, like, if I'm Shad Khan, I'm on the team. I don't want to run the team. Like, I don't want to run the day-to-day operations of the team. I just want to own it. I just want to, like, I give it money and let a GM run this thing. But if I made the decision to bring this guy in and I'm hearing from players and agents that this guy is, like, my player is not playing here anymore. Like, he's not going to play here anymore. He's not signing. And word's getting around that nobody should go to Jacksonville because a lunatic is running the asylum. If I'm an owner, I got to cut that. That's what we were saying when he left, when he got fired. It's like, if your reputation around the league is your quarterback just doesn't know how to handle professional athletes, then how are you going to get a free agent? Like, if a free agent has a choice between you and the package you're paying, or a little less to go somewhere else, but a coach that understands professional athletes, they're going to choose the second option. Because players talk. They talk all the time. I'm sure there were players texting going, you're going to believe this idiot. Like, he threw a chair after a preseason game. Urban bragged that he had never lost two games back-to-back before, ever, in his career. And the team, I mean, again, think about that for a second. So Urban Meyer was bragging that he never lost back-to-back games. Which, by the way, I'd like to check that out. I like, even in the early days, he never lost back-to-back games. Right? Nevertheless, he was bragging about that. But the assistant coaches who have NFL experience, they knew the deal. Right? Like, they knew they weren't very good. They knew they were a team, you know, was trying to rebuild and had a rookie quarterback. So they knew the losses were going to come and come in bunches. And they were fearing, like, what is this guy going to do when we lose more than two games in a row? Like, what? Like, seriously, how is he going to handle this? And you know how he handled it? He went to Ohio and didn't tell anybody. And then the players went, that's enough. That's it. That's it. People thought that that wasn't a big deal. People were like, ah, big deal. He didn't go on the... That became a big deal to the players who already hated the guy. Now this was the ammunition to hate him even more. Like, they were already like, I don't want to play for this guy. And now he's not even going on the team playing and he's partying it up. And then he tried to explain to the players that the girl in the video was trying to get him on the dance floor and he was trying to fight back. And one player said, you didn't look like you were fighting back. It's like, it is an absolute mess. Fantastic article. If you're not subscribed to The Athletic, do so. It's good piece. And they got great in-depth stuff like that. But just awesome work. And again, it does remind you that yikes, this guy was this guy's a firecracker for sure. All right, again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. We got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up in the next hour. And as we continue, it's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got the good, the bad, the dumb coming up in hour number two. Daryl Ritter is going to join us. We're going to talk Browns from 92.3 The Fan. Deshaun Watson, we talked about it yesterday, landing in Cleveland. It's, you know, it still is perplexing to me. I understand why you would get him completely as a quarterback. Complete upgrade at that position. I don't know.
It's a lot of baggage.
How Cleveland handles the baggage that's coming. I really don't. You're right. It's
no, I'm 100% with you. If you can go out there and find a 25, 26 year old Deshaun Watson to lead your team, by all means, you do it.
Right. If you can make it work, you make it work. Right. It's, you know, worth the picks. And no, I don't one even should complain about the compensation because it's well worth his
yeah.
talent.
And I'm not. You know, you can't compare this to the Herschel Walker trade. That pretty much set the Dallas Cowboys up for the 90s.
Right, right, right.
It's not on the same level as that because you have someone, you know, you said it yesterday perfectly. It's like 90% of your battles finding that quarterback.
Right. All of you, most of your, when you rebuild, you can rebuild in all the positions and be well stocked in all the positions. But if you have no quarterback, you're not winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're like, very likely not winning the Super Bowl.
The Bengals have their quarterback. And yesterday, I think they had one of the better signings that's going quiet.
Lyle Collins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
let go by the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, you need to find someone to protect your franchise guy's backside.
All the time.
And you found someone.
Yep. But I think there is such a level of desperation within the Cleveland organization that they said, you know what? We can survive it. We may not like it, but we can survive it. And if he wins games, we understand sports culture, it won't be as big of an issue. Now, if he loses games and struggles and snaps at the fans, then we got a problem because it's that baggage plus the baggage of not playing well and losing games and being a nuisance, that's going to be an issue. But if he gets us in a position where we're competitive in this very competitive AFC, then this town isn't going to go screaming and hollering about 22 civil cases in Houston. And you know what? They're right. It's unfortunate, but they're right. I go back to the dogfighting situation with Michael Vick. As soon as you start slinging it around for Philadelphia, it was amazing how that died. It's amazing how that story didn't go nowhere. And no one was covering the PETA protests anymore. Now, this is different. I mean, this is obviously different in a way because, as I said, Michael Vick went to prison. He came out. He was apologetic. He wanted to work with animal rights groups. He said, hey, listen, I really want to change my heart on this. I really messed up, and I'm really sorry. Sean Watson ain't admitting anything, says he didn't do it, let it play out, see where it goes. He's not being contrite, doesn't even want to settle yet. We'll see. But we're going to talk about that coming up. All right, real quick. Ron, who is your favorite English Premier team? Which is the team you root for?
Manchester United.
Okay, they win a lot, though, right?
I mean, they're up there.
All right, never mind.
No, go ahead.
All right, because over the weekend, Ferrari won the Bahrain Grand Prix, and I couldn't have been happier. I'm a Ferrari guy through and through, and it's been a long 3 years. Their last win was in 2019. I was absolutely elated over the weekend. I was so excited to see the Scuderia back on the podium. I was so excited. I got text messages from a bunch of my friends saying, I saw Ferrari won. I know you're a Ferrari guy. You must be. I was like, yes, yes. I was thrilled. Grazie.
Can they carry it over?
I hope so. I hope so. They got a great fast car this year. They got a great fast car. So that was my good. What's the good of the day? That's coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.